Gospel, chapter 6. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not that you be not judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Amen. The Bible teaches that God is the source of all good. In James 1:17, we read, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So when we see good in others, we know it has come from God. Even when that person might be an atheist or an unbeliever, any good in them is the gracious and undeserved gift that comes from the God of heaven. However, we all know that although all good comes from God, the Christian benefits in two ways when it comes to this goodness. First, as Christians, we know that all good is from God, and therefore we give God the glory for that goodness. And ultimately, it is this alone that makes anything absolutely good. When we deny God and fail to honor him as the source of all goodness, we deny the goodness itself. And ultimately, just like severing a well from its source or a reservoir from its river, it will dry up. But the second benefit the Christian has is this. Since we look to God as the source and giver of every good in us, we are enabled to grow in that goodness. If our life is a reservoir of the good that comes from God, as Christians, we acknowledge it all comes from God and we build that reservoir bigger. And the stream that flows into it flows more strongly by the power of the Spirit of God. And that brings us to Monica. Because although she could never see it, we could see it, couldn't we? We saw the goodness of God in this remarkable person. I remember one conversation with her. We'd been talking about the blessings of being a member of the church, the joy of sharing together with other Christians, the good that we see in those around us in the church. We'd even been talking about one or two specific people who'd been such a blessing to Monica only that past Sunday. And as she was smiling and reminiscing, I said to her, Monica, you do know that you're a blessing too. You realize we're so thankful to have you in the church. We see Christ in you. I remember her response. She shook her head and smiled and said, well, I don't know about that. I'm sure you can hear her saying it. On that occasion, I thought it was a good teaching opportunity as a minister, and I didn't let it go. I pressed the point until she had to accept it. Because the truth is that Christ did dwell in her heart. And the goodness of God was seen in her life. And she did really display the likeness of God. I want us to think for a few moments about two particular ways in which the goodness of God was displayed in Monica's life. It's a goodness that comes only through Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how we can obtain the same thing for ourselves. Firstly, we see in Monica what we can call steadfast strength. I thought a lot about that title. And I was quite pleased with it in the end. Because I think that sums her up. Steadfast strength. She was a remarkably strong woman. We've heard about that today from those who have stood here and shared family memories. Monica was the kind of person who took things in her stride where others would have found them hard to handle. While it seems that her husband Patrick made a hobby out of changing jobs, traveling the world and going who knows where, she seemed unfazed by this entirely and could move to brand new places with brand new people without a murmur or a complaint and make friends incredibly quickly. That takes a lot of strength to do that. She often held the fort while Dad was away, providing that stability that was so necessary. She was always there for her children and acquired a reputation as the rock upon which others stood and the glue which held everyone together. Monica reminds me of a swan, fiercely paddling away under the water. But the surface is like glass, and that which is above the water is all calmness and serenity. This is Monica. She was a woman of steadfast strength. But we have to ask ourselves, where did it come from? And as we've already seen in our introduction, it comes from the Lord. She depended upon her God. And as we think about this, we are caused to look at her Savior, the Savior that she loved, the Savior that she spoke of, the Savior that she trusted. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the strength of God in a human being. We read about this strength in Deuteronomy 32, where Moses says, "Ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect." That means it's complete. It's solid. It's unbreakable. You can't break God apart because he's far too strong. And when God became flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelt amongst us, we see that strength, the divine strength, in a frail human being. Because he was just like Monica, just like you and me. And yet he possessed this incredible strength. How many times have we got up in the morning determined that we won't do that again? Or determined that we won't fall into that temptation? Determined that we will overcome, and by the end of the day, we have to admit we've fallen. That never happened to Jesus, you know. He resisted every temptation there was to resist. Even when he was taken into the wilderness and didn't eat for 40 days so that he experienced the ultimate human weakness. Even then he trusted his Father. Even then he did what was right. Wow. How many people can say that? There's no one like Jesus. He is perfect in all his ways. Rock solid. Absolutely dependable. Never need to look to Jesus and worry. Will he fall to pieces? Will he break apart? Will it come to nothing? No, never with him. We see this steadfast strength in his life as he really is the glue that holds everyone together. As we see him preparing to go to the cross, We even read those words on the front of our order of service. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus doesn't fail. Jesus says to his disciples, when they are literally falling to pieces in the upper room, they realize he's going to die. They realize he's going to leave them. And they're devastated. And he says, "Don't be devastated. Don't be worried. Don't be troubled. I'm going ahead of you. I'm the advance party. I'm going to go through death. I'm going to rise from the dead. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to secure eternal life for you. I can be your rock. Let me do all the work. I'll be the swan. Let my legs go like billio under the water. I'll face all the troubles. I will give you the victory." He's the man of steadfast strength. And this is a steadfast strength that even went to a cross for his people. Imagine doing that. Knowing in advance that you're going to have to suffer. Knowing in advance that you're going to have to die as a felon. Knowing in advance that you're going to have to take the judgment of God upon you, what you don't deserve, for the sake of others. That's what he did. The Bible says he set his face like a flint. That's steadfast strength, isn't it? And he went and he did it. Through his life and on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ took on evil, all evil, because he faced up to Satan and he beat him. He beat him. He overcame all evil. Imagine that. Never once in his life did he ever fail. No other human being can ever say that. He never disappoints. He's the only Savior. He's the man of steadfast strength. And that's where Monica got her strength from. She got it from him. Do you have that strength? There's no other source of such strength. You must seek it from him. But the second thing that we see in Monica that we've thought about today is selfless love. As well as the steadfast strength, there is this incredible selfless love. She was a remarkable person for her centeredness on others. She was other person centered. We've heard this, haven't we? Whether it was her husband or her children or her grandchildren, her relatives or her friends, she was focused on the other. It wasn't about Monica. You could be in Monica's presence and realize that you hadn't spoken about her for the entire time. There's not many people you could really say that of. There are some people, and you've been with them for 1 minute, and you haven't actually managed to talk about them, and they're already feeling very dissatisfied. Well, why aren't we talking about me here? Come on, I'm the important person here. She was not like that, was she? Ruth used a phrase earlier on that drew a tear. Rightly so. She actually said, "Mum was our home." What an amazing thing to say of a person. That a person was the home. It didn't matter where we were, that's what it means. It doesn't matter whether we were in Arizona or in Ireland or in Salford or in Bury or wherever it was. She was the home. And just as an aside here, what a tragedy for a culture and a society that despises the role of the mother. What a tragedy that says of a woman, well, if you can be CEO of a company, that is great. If you can run some sort of charity and do some great, that is great. But being a mother, goodness me, we're in a mess. Motherhood is the hardest job in the world and the most rewarding in the world. And Monica knew that, and her children, you know that. Because she invested her life in them. She quite literally was always there for them. That's what a mother does. Even when she received the news of her cancer, her first thought was not for herself, but for her loved ones. That's a true lover of others. She was a best friend. She was unassuming, thoughtful, kind, and devoted to the good of others. And the question is, where did all this come from? Well, whenever you see that in anybody, it comes from above, as we thought. And in Monica, she knew it. And she relied upon her Savior for this love. See, many people might begin their lives with this kind of love when they're young and when they're fresh and when they've got all the strength within themselves, or so they might think, but then you get knocked in life, don't you? And bitterness creeps in and the reservoir runs dry. Not so for Monica, because she knew the source of this love. It was God in Christ. The God of whom we read in Scripture, He is love, pure love within His triune being. And Monica drew from this wellspring of love and filled her heart and her life with it. We see it in Jesus. The selfless love that made Himself nothing as a man for the sake of sinners like us. We're talking about God Himself. We're talking about the Creator of the universe. We're talking about a being that cannot suffer and cannot die and cannot bleed. And He becomes human to suffer, to bleed, and to die. It's unfathomable, but it's true. That is love itself, seen in a human being. Selfless love that sought the good of His enemies, even those who hated Him. No wonder this scripture we read earlier was Monica's favorite scripture. It speaks about the kind of love that loves people who will love you back. Well, says Jesus, nothing special in that. If you love people who are going to love you back, if you give to people who are going to give you back, then everybody does that. Anybody can do that. But what about loving your enemies? What about doing good to those who hate you? What about lending to those who will never give you back? This is selfless love. This is what Jesus did. He went to a cross and He died in unspeakable agony. He did that for the sake of His enemies. The first people to whom the message of the gospel was preached in Acts chapter 2 were the people who put Him on a cross. And many of them were saved. The prayer of Jesus, when He prayed to the Father, "Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," was answered. On the day of Pentecost. This is selfless love. Again, it's the selfless love of John 14, 1 and 2. You have it there on the front of your order of service. Take it away. Meditate on it. The selfless love that is our home. You see, why were the disciples devastated on that evening? It was because He told them He was leaving. And they thought, well, if you're leaving, we lose everything. And He said, don't worry. When I go, I will send My Spirit, and My Spirit will fill you, and I will be with you in the fullness of My Spirit. That is what Monica experienced. Throughout her life, she knew the presence of her Savior with her by the power of the Spirit. And now, in her spirit, she is with Him in glory. You see, He was going ahead to make the home. And now she is in her home. What we have before us is her body. That will be placed in the ground later, waiting the day of resurrection when the body will be raised. But her spirit is not there. Her soul is with Christ. This is the love of Christ. It secures the ultimate good for all those who will trust in Him. And we ask ourselves then, how can we obtain this steadfast love and this steadfast strength and selfless love? How do we get it? The truth is, it's not in us by nature. We can't get it by our own effort. Good cannot come from within us. We do not have the power. We can't keep it up. And no one else around us can help us either. Monica cannot help us now. She has gone to be with her Savior. She helped us while she was here, but she cannot help us now. And like Monica, we're all weak. She didn't want us to trust in her, but she wanted us to trust in her Savior. Because it is only by faith in Jesus Christ that you can lay hold on this steadfast strength and this selfless love. It is only by confessing our own inability and acknowledging our own sin and putting all our confidence in Him. And you know, here is the real reason why so few do this. It's because it requires humility. Monica had that humility. She humbled herself and she looked to her Savior. Will you follow in her footsteps? Will you confess, yes, I too am a sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. This is Monica's testimony. She calls us to look up to Jesus and put our faith in Him, the source of steadfast strength and the source of selfless love that will be with us now and forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray.